Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, it is E3 season, which means there are new leaks coming left, right, and center. And one big one being something that started over on Reddit by none other than Swine Flu Greg, a great name. Swine Flu Greg on the road again. He's just, he's coming flying in. putting a Reddit thread out, which has been verified by Jason Schreier, obviously legitimizing the entire thing. Schreier says that it might not all be at E3, but assumedly it's all going to be. These are four new games coming from 2K, including some pretty big things. The first of which being a turn-based Marvel XCOM game. Not literally an XCOM spin-off, but it is being developed by Firaxis, so it's going to be XCOM style. Featuring the Marvel superheroes. And according to the Reddit leak, it says that some famous voice actors are voicing the characters, which feels like a big old deal because one of the biggest criticisms levied against Square Enix's Avengers was that, you know, it was all just B tier, C tier, knockoff looking people. And a lot of people, I mean, I personally don't have much of a problem with that, but I get why you could if you were coming off, you know, Endgame hype and then it was like, who the hell are all these guys? Whereas if they can get in the likes of, you know, Tree Trunk Arms himself, Mr. Hemsworth, then maybe that legitimizes the whole thing.
Totally. I mean, you know, when it comes to, you know, adaptations and comic book games, if that's even a thing, superhero games based on properties that we all know, like the Avengers, I'm not entirely, you know, for getting the celebrities back in because there's been so many times before where you've got, like, Tobey Maguire in the booth and he just sounds bored out of his mind and he's clearly there for a paycheck.
2004.
I hold the grudge. I love Tobey Maguire. Seems like an all right dude. I even think Spider-Man 3 is okay. His voice acting, though, beyond reproach, just that was the nail in my ass. So my point was that I don't always go for that, but like you said, an issue with Marvel's Avengers was that they were so trying to be the MCU without actually being able to commit to using any of the likenesses or any of the voices or anything like that. So what you ended up with was this like soulless bootleg version of the movie universe that we love, which just didn't gel with anyone. So I'm interested to see what this take would be, who they've actually got to voice it. Maybe they're just some other random celebrities not affiliated with the actual MCU. But it sounds interesting. Not what I expected. Not necessarily what I'd even want. I'm not a huge XCOM guy, although I know a lot of people do love it. But I'm pleased it exists, because when it comes to these franchises, I want to see kind of like different takes on them. I don't just want everything to be a AAA, third-person, semi-open world thing. I want, you know, first-person shooters. I want these kind of more tactical games. I think that's cool.
Well, the thing is, I adore XCOM, I adore turn-based combat. I can just picture right now picking Cap as my character and envisioning a grid, like it's sort of like a square grid where I'm going to throw the shield and it's going to ping off four different dudes and then I'm going to take my turn and it's going to be brilliant. What is your general thoughts on turn-based combat, though, before we move on? Because I know turn-based stuff does tend to divide people. But interestingly, like, you know, Yakuza Like a Dragon went completely down the turn-based route in their latest game, and that has sold so well that the main Yakuza series is going to remain turn-based and Judgment is going to go full on action again. But do you think there's like a little revival going on of turn-based stuff? Because even Transformers just did their XCOM style game as well.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, there's always going to be a space for it. And like any kind of old genre, we'll see kind of like peaks and troughs of it. And I feel like it is, like you say, with those games in mind, kind of on an uptick in the same way that isometric RPGs were on an uptick like 6 years ago when they were completely out of fashion. And then they all came back thanks to some really great Kickstarter games. And now they're kind of in vogue again. So yeah, I think that would be cool. Personally, again, that kind of combat was never something I gravitated towards when I was younger. But just because something might not be for me, Scott, doesn't mean that it's bad. It means that someone else can just enjoy it and I can appreciate it from the sidelines. I will give it a go, of course. I'm not just going to go in with these preconceived notions.
No, your little turn-based starter pack should be XCOM, Enemy Within, and Bay of the Old, Mario and Rabbids on Switch. That's the most left-field thing. But I know that, genuinely, that's a really, really good strategy, turn-based strategy game. Next game that is leaked is Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, a spin-off from Borderlands, which might also be called Wonderland, just Wonderlands itself. Apparently, it's the same style as the Borderlands games, but with multi-class heroes to play as. I know very little about Borderlands. Borderlands 3 was pretty much my first Borderlands game that I played for a significant amount of time. The series never really click with me, but I know that it's a big old deal. What's your thoughts on them focusing on Tiny Tina and fleshing her out in specifics?
It's cool. It's funnily enough, I'm at like halfway through Borderlands 3 at the moment. I haven't played it in about 4 months. I've played it for like 15 hours and then just dropped it. But, you know, I really like the game itself. I thought I went into it kind of expecting to not really jive with it because I really enjoyed Borderlands 2, but I played it to death. And I assumed that Borderlands 3 was just going to be more of the same, which it kind of is, but it does feel tighter. It is gorgeous. And I found myself engrossed in a way I didn't before. So I am back interested in this franchise. And I think a spin-off on this character is cool. I like the name. I think that's fun. But yeah, I suppose, I guess it depends what this is going to be. Is it going to be something like the pre-sequel, which very much felt like this in-between sequel, this kind of thing that was going to hold us over? Or is it going to be the start of potentially a whole new Gearbox franchise, you know, a whole different side of this universe that will get its own sequels and not just, you know...
I wonder if this is their answer to hero shooters, where they can sort of pick a character and kind of... I mean, obviously, they've got multi-class heroes as well, but if they're going to let you play as Tina in maybe, like, a main campaign, I'm kind of just wondering what the identity of Borderlands is if you're going to do a spin-off. What do you take from there? What do you carry over? Like, is it going to have, you know, the four-player squad-based stuff? You obviously keep the loot system. But for a second, I was thinking if you played as Tiny Tina, maybe you could flesh out her power set, and you could do... That could be their answer to an Overwatch hero shooter-style thing, and you could flesh out that side of it. I'm just kind of wondering what differentiates it, because I mean I like Borderlands, just I know I'm ridiculous, but I liked Borderlands 3 because it actually had like a ground slide. I thought that the shooting felt meatier, it just wasn't as flowy as Borderlands 2. I know that's an insane opinion and a lot of people hate that, but that was the thing that got me into 3. But I know that overall Borderlands 3 didn't go down very well, and it was kind of thought of as just more Borderlands. So like, I guess what would you want from, like, you know, this idea of a side series or a fresh take on it? Like, how much would you take from the main series? And what would you like want them to do?
That is interesting, because I'm playing it now a couple of years later, so I'm out of that ecosystem. I don't know what the reactions to it necessarily were, so I didn't realise.
I know Jules is a massive fan, and he was a bit, and I saw a lot of just online people just being like, oh, we waited so long for it, and it's kind of just more Borderlands.
Well, and that is partly why I put it off for the longest time and ended up getting it in the sale like these years later. But I think, you know, going into this, the fact that it presumably won't have as long as a gap between Borderlands 2 and Borderlands 3, I can't imagine it's going to be a major overhaul. I think, you know, if they bring back that weightier shooting and the fact that the guns in Borderlands 3, at least to me, seemed even more varied than they ever were before. You know, there were always millions of guns, but every time I was picking one up in Borderlands 3, I felt it had, for the most part, you know, some kind of unique function, unique thing that it brought to the table. That more distinctiveness when it comes to the environments, when it comes to the enemies, when it comes to the weapons, I thought that was really cool and kept me engaged. So for me, I wouldn't mind if it was just more Borderlands, but I guess I understand why there's an eagerness for there to be some kind of radical overhaul and radical change on the horizon.
That's kind of the thing, though, like the amount of, you know, the last few years for Gearbox haven't been the best. Like, you know, all the stuff with Randy Pitchford's wages, and, you know, they're laying different people off, and they managed to get Borderlands 3 out. But like I said, on the fan side, it was just more Borderlands. So I'm kind of curious if they're going to go down the route of, you know, let's let the Borderlands IP sort of rest on the side while we do this other thing. I hope that it has kind of like a confident showing.
My question, Scott, right?
Yes.
Why more Borderlands when they could do more Brothers in Arms? You know, I'm just going to throw that out there. Why not?
Hell's Highway. I'm letting you know, right? If anyone has access to an Xbox that has backwards compatibility, that game is like £3 on the UK store, and it's brilliant. It's got all the uptick stuff on the Xbox One X, the Series X. It's great. If you want to experience a very good, unique shooter in 2021, Brothers in Arms, 2003's Brothers in Arms is where it's at. Next game down is NBA 2K22, or whatever the next NBA game is going to be. We're not going to spend too much time on this. It's more basketball. It's what 2K do very, very well. They backed off a little bit from the casino stuff last year, but I think they obviously became known for it the year before. And I'm kind of just, I don't know, it's one of those things where you just want to hope that they treat the licenses, the IP, the player base with respect. What do you want from an NBA game at this point, if anything?
Well, it's funny, Scott, because, you know, I don't play these games, but every year I get excited for the headlines that come out to see how severe, like you said, the microtransactions. What have they messed up? How far have they gone this time? So every release almost comes with a, for me, like a spectrum of damage limitation. How bad is it going to be?
Is
will
it
they
playable?
Have finally learned their lesson? Yes. Will it be a good game? So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just hope that people who like the series aren't getting these horrific systems like shoved down their throat yet again. Hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully it doesn't have these predatory systems in there. And hopefully for once they can release an NBA game that has no controversy surrounding it. And I think that's too much to ask genuinely, but maybe a guy can ask.
On the wrestling side, it took NBA 2K20 to be on fire before they took a step back and did Battlegrounds, which does make me wonder or secretly hope that if they mess up an NBA game enough, they'll do an NBA Street again, or they'll do a more arcade one. And I know that Playgrounds is out there. I love basketball games, love Playgrounds, but it ain't NBA Street. It's not even close. So it is, maybe there's a silver lining if something goes down enough that a phoenix can rise from the ashes. I just want NBA Street, Josh. I just want NBA Street Volume 2 available right here, right now. Anyway, last game is a new IP that's currently codenamed Vault, which is described in the Reddit post as Cthulhu meets Saints Row, which I don't know how to fully take that. Do they mean Call of Cthulhu? Do they mean like a murder mystery type thing? Do they mean like a, you know, ethereal sort of weird quality? Do they just mean giant squids? Do they mean open world crime? I don't know, but how do you interpret this phrase?
I similarly have been thinking about it all morning because I don't know. Do they mean it's kind of like Lovecraftian inspired? Do they mean the literal thing Cthulhu will be in a Saints Row style open world game? I don't know, but it is a combination of words that will get me excited.
I couldn't just it's definitely a combination of words.
It is a combination of words. I'm interested to see what Hangar 13 have been working on, you know, for the faults that Mafia 3 had. I thought that its core systems were good, and there was clearly a storytelling level of quality in there that could be extrapolated to a big game. I hope they've learned the lessons from that title and don't just have all of these copy and repeat systems and all of these mechanics that you have to do over and over again. And yeah, the idea of it being Saints Row, which you can imagine they're going to lead on the wackier side of things, combined with this squid nightmare horror infused Bloodborne-esque vibe, it wouldn't have had it on my 2021 bingo card, I'll tell you that, but I'm here for it.
No, I know. That's the thing. Like, so the Hangar 13 connection is that they're apparently working on a new AAA game or a new project. That was one of their leaked contracts, and people are just sort of joining the dots because Hangar 13, Mafia 3 developers are under 2K's wing, and maybe that's what they're doing. But also Mafia 4 has been leaked for a while, or at least that's been talked about for a while, so I don't know if that's also coming. But like you said, Mafia 3's strongest points were the combat, so maybe that's something that can transfer across. Just let us know what you think, Dan, in the comments. What kind of Venn diagram is Cthulhu and Saints Row, and what the hell is that like in the middle? Apparently they're going to be showing this off. So all of this stuff is targeted for E3, but of course, according to Jason Schreier, he's not completely sure if all of it will be at E3, but that seems to be the ongoing conversation. So just let us know what you think. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean, Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Swine flu Greg.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.